Is denying the fairness of the 2020 election the same or similar to Holocaust denial? Should a Jew be taken off Facebook for talking about crazy Jews who go all over to have Chinese food on Christmas? And should the owner of the laptop store that exposed the issues regarding Hunter Biden be able to sue the social media for calling him a hacker? Today, we're going to be dealing with the expanding war against freedom of speech on the social media. The media wars involving censorship by the social media, Facebook, etc., heated up dramatically in the last couple of days. I will tell you three stories. You may not believe them. Let me start with the first. Just the headline alone will shock you. How a Jewish quip got me banned from Facebook on Christmas. That's the headline of the story in the Forward. And here's what happened. I'll just read you the paragraph. What landed me in the social media hoosegow, he got banned, a friend had posted a picture of their family eating Chinese food on Christmas. We know that's a long tradition, Jews eating Chinese food on Christmas, when Justice Elena Kagan was being confirmed for the Supreme Court. She was asked how she spent her Christmas, and she said, well, being Jewish, of course, eating Chinese food. You know, those are the only restaurants that are open on Christmas Day, so Jews who don't celebrate Christmas tend to eat Chinese food. So let's continue. Posted a picture of their family eating Chinese food on Christmas and seemed to imply that they had gone to great lengths to maintain this Hebraic tradition. So now the writer says, I chimed in with the following. Well, we went all the way to Hackensack for dim sum, crazy Jews, talking about himself, that he was crazy for going all the way to Hackensack to have a little bit of Chinese dim sum. Well, he got banned. He got banned. Hate speech. Hate speech. Crazy Jews is hate speech, even when Jews use that term. Of course, when African Americans use the N-word, hey, that's perfectly okay. That's part of a cultural permission to use words that are used against you in a positive way. That raises its own questions. A whole book was written about that by one of my colleagues at Harvard Law School. And it's very, you know, interestingly debatable. But the idea that Facebook would ban a Jewish guy for mocking his own culture. You know, have you never heard of a Jewish joke? I mean, there are like 1,000 Jewish jokes out there that mock Jews. We're allowed to tell them. Do you remember the episode in Seinfeld when a non-Jewish dentist converts to Judaism and Seinfeld wonders why he converted? Was it the religion? Was it the ethnicity? No, he said, it was the jokes. Now I can tell Jewish jokes because I'm Jewish. So Facebook doesn't seem to have a sense of humor, and it doesn't seem to get it. But okay, that you can say is funny. But now there are other instances as well that are less funny. So remember the Hunter Biden computer. Apparently Hunter Biden went to a repair shop, brought in his laptop to get it fixed, never picked it up. It was then given to the FBI and to a lawyer who gave it to Rudy Giuliani, and it became front page news. And then Twitter banned the information about what was on that laptop, accusing the owner of the store of being a hacker and saying, we won't put on Twitter information that's been hacked. So now the owner of the store is suing Twitter for $500 million, a little bit excessive, perhaps. I'm only suing CNN for $300 million. But we know that lawsuits generally allege amounts that aren't always reflected by the end result, by the end jury verdict. But so there's a lawsuit. But it raises a very interesting question. You know, the first response would be, gee, you know, isn't Twitter exempt under Section 230 of the communications law? And the answer, and it's an interesting one, is no, not for this. Twitter and other social media are exempt for other people's content, so that if I tweet something and they run it, they can't be sued. I could be sued, but they can't be sued for what I say if it's defamatory. But here you have Twitter itself speaking. Twitter itself is defaming the owner of the repair shop, calling him a hacker. And he claims that it's ruined his business. It made him close his shop. He lost all of his business and customers. If he can prove that, it would be very interesting. If he can prove, A, he's not a hacker, he'd have to prove that. He's probably not a public figure, maybe arguably a qualified public figure. When you put yourself into the public arena, you have some of the attributes of a public figure, and therefore you have to prove actual malice, which would be difficult to prove in this case. But he may not be a public figure because he didn't thrust himself into the public. He was thrust into the public by other people. There's a couple of cases on that, and they're complicated, and they kind of go both ways. But it will be an interesting lawsuit to see whether or not Twitter can be sued for calling something hacking or for calling something hate speech. If you get the guy from the Christmas banning, he was banned because the words crazy Jews were regarded as hate speech. So he has been called a purveyor of hate speech. Could he sue? Those are interesting and fascinating questions. Now we turn to the third and much, much more serious issue, which really, really, really concerns me because it involves two of my friends. Two very, very good people. Deborah Lipstadt, some of you know who she is. She was the hero of the movie Denial. She was the one who was sued by a guy, a Holocaust denier named Irving. And she won her lawsuit, and a book was written about it. She wrote the book. I think I wrote a preface to the book or some follow-up to the book. In any event, I'm a big supporter of Deborah Lipstadt. And the other person that she wrote an article with is Norman Eisen, my former research assistant, who I admire and like. But they wrote an article in the Washington Post. You're going to find this hard to believe. Comparing what they call democracy denial to Holocaust denial. Now, what is democracy denial? Democracy denial is what hundreds, well, tens of millions of people, certainly in this country, believe, maybe falsely, maybe completely without a basis, but that the election of 2020 was not fair. They call Donald Trump a democracy denier. They call his lawyers democracy deniers. They call the people who believe there were questions about the fairness of the election democracy deniers. And then they compare democracy denial to Holocaust denial. First of all, I think they ought to know better. Deborah Lipstadt is one of the world's great experts on the Holocaust. Norm Eisen's parents were Holocaust survivors. He went back to Czechoslovakia to serve as, and with great distinction, as the U.S. ambassador to Czechoslovakia. He hosted, to the Czech Republic now, he hosted me and my family living in his embassy for a couple of days. I regard him as a friend. He was one of the lawyers for impeachment. I was one of the lawyers against it. We maintained our friendship during that period of time, and we'll maintain our friendship now, too. We'll both get over this. But the idea of making any kind of comparison between Holocaust denial and democracy denial just, I think, diminishes the memory of the victims of the Holocaust, including their own relatives. Now, you know, they obviously go to great lengths to say Trump is not Hitler and we shouldn't make direct comparisons, but democracy denial is a very dangerous thing and can be, in many respects, compared to Holocaust denial. And now let me read you the crucial paragraph, which relates to what we're talking about today, and that is censorship by the social media. They say, finally, the purveyors of the big lie, in quotes, the big lie, that is obviously a reference to Goebbels and others in the Nazi regime, the purveyors of the big lie about the 2020 election must be denied respectable platforms in polite national society. We would not allow a Holocaust denier to speak on the evening news programs or have free rein on social media. There are limits. Democracy denial, in its racism, its utter falsity, and its deep danger, is well beyond them, well beyond those limits. Old and new media alike should no longer give a platform to these dissimulations, starting with Trump's. And here's a key sentence now. We were pleased by the announcement that YouTube will remove false claims of election illegitimacy, and others should follow suit. So that's the real challenge, and that's where I disagree with my friend Norman Eisen and my friend Deborah Lipstadt, and I will invite them both to come on the show and debate me on this issue. Millions of Americans believe that this was not a fair election. Doesn't matter whether you're among them or not. That's a widespread belief. They're going to say, so is Holocaust denial. No, that's not true. Holocaust denial is thankfully, a very, very small in numbers of belief. And it's provably, in every respect, untrue. And it's not a subject for reasonable debate. By the way, I wouldn't ban Holocaust denial from the internet. I wouldn't make it a crime. I wouldn't accept the German rules on Holocaust denial or even the Canadian rules. I think we can debate these issues. But the idea of not allowing a debate about an election is so different. Would they apply it to Bush versus Gore? Would they have applied it to Jackson's failure to win the presidency in 1824, where he called it the corrupt bargain that got John Quincy Adams elected? Sure, there are differences. In 1824, Andrew Jackson won the popular vote. And had more electoral votes than anybody else, but he didn't have a majority, so it went to the House, where the corrupt bargain occurred. Look, these are all differences. There are never complete analogies of similarities. But the idea that you would ban from the old media and the new media any claims, any arguments, any offers of proof that there were problems in the election goes well beyond banning Holocaust denial, which I don't want to do in any event. And so the sides are met and the issues are met. And I hereby challenge Deborah and Norm, my friends, to debate me on this show rationally, carefully, in a coherent way about whether it's proper, A, to make any comparisons, even ones that are nuanced, and their comparisons are nuanced. I'm not complaining about that. They're not saying that Trump is Hitler or that what is going on in America today is Holocaust denial, but they're making very sharp comparisons. I urge you to read the article. It's in the Washington Post, and then there's a rebuttal to it by another friend of mine, Nathan Lewin, who attacks them very strongly for any comparison at all. But that's less what I'm focusing on than the paragraph I read to you in which they want to ban any discussion, basically, of whether this election was fair from social media. I don't think I overstate it when I say that. They say old and new media alike should no longer give a platform to these dissimulations, starting with Trump's. Does it mean that nobody can get on the social media who raises questions about this election? It's just not consistent with our First Amendment or the culture of the First Amendment. They've won the debate. Deborah and Norm, let me talk to you directly. You won the debate. You've persuaded the American people, the vast majority of them, that the election was fair. Your presidential candidate is going to be the president of the United States. Why don't you believe in the marketplace of ideas? Why would you shut down the marketplace to ideas that you disagree with? Why would you compare them to the most horrible event in world history. And to those who foolishly and in a failing way deny them, it's just not consistent with democratic principles. So come on my show, rethink your position. Hopefully you'll change your mind. Maybe when the passions of this election are over and we're into the Biden administration, you will rethink your attempt to censor what you call democracy denial, because what you're calling for is a form of democracy denial. Should we censor you? You're calling for denial of the most basic elements of democracy: free speech, debate, dialogue, disagreement, the ability to express wrong views. Remember, the First Amendment core mission is to protect the right to be wrong. You don't need to protect the right to be right. That's protected by the court of public opinion. It's the right to be wrong, the right to be mistaken, the right to even be perversely wrong. And we're not talking about defamation now. We're talking about a large issue. Was the election fair? Was it not fair? It's democracy denial to deny people who hold views different from yours, wrong-headed views different from yours, the right to express them on social media or on the evening news. So we're living in very dangerous times. Because of the passions of the election, we're seeing people moving much too far against freedom of speech. We are seeing increasing intolerance of views that are different from the views of others. You've heard me on this show over and over again rail against that on college and university campuses, rail against students who are being denied admission to college or whose admissions are being revoked or are being told to withdraw their admissions because they said things when they were 15 years old or 16 years old that are politically incorrect. And the identity politics coupled with political correctness targets them and makes them the ones who have to pay the price for racism that continues to exist in pockets of our society. So I hope that once this election is in the history books, once we have a new president, we can get back to supporting basic democratic principles that include, not only include, but highlight free speech. Please don't deny free speech in the name of your partisan political views or your views of truth. Free speech is just too important. And you're always going to hear free speech of every kind on the Dirt Show. You're going to hear points of view that you disagree with, points of view that I disagree with. When I was a professor at Harvard for 50 years, I was known as the devil's advocate. I would take any view in class that was politically unpopular in order to make sure the students had an ability to deal with those views, because they're going to live in a world where those views are expressed. So to be a devil's advocate is to help promote the truth. And the Dirt Show will serve as a devil's advocate. We will present positions that are unpopular, that are politically incorrect, and that some good people like Norm Eisen and Deborah Lipstadt would have banned by the social media and by the old media. So you may not be able to read about controversial matters today on the social media, but you'll always be able to discuss them on this show. So I invite my viewers and listeners, please send in your provocative, politically incorrect, challenging questions or comments. Nothing is verboten on this show. Nothing will be censored on this show. We will not accept the notion that there are issues that are beyond the pale of acceptability. No matter what your issues are, I'll debate you. If you're a Holocaust denier, I'll prove you wrong. If you're making claims about the election, we'll have a nuanced discussion. But there will be no rules of censorship, no subjects that are out of bounds. So please call and write, but primarily call the Dirt Show, because I want to hear your voice and I want to be able to comment on your questions on the Dirt Show. And please call me with questions and comments and criticisms that you have of me and the show. The number is 216-710-0050. 216-710-0050. Call me. I really want to hear what you have to say. You provide the wits that completes the Dirt Show Wits.